Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs Podcast. We are a podcast that is on the internet that is all about the movies.
All about it.
Which don't exist in the wild anymore, at least in North America.
All closed.
In Europe, things are pretty good. Here in America, it's... What, apocalypse? Dumb apocalypse, would you guys say?
Stupid apocalypse? It's definitely dumb apocalypse, but as far as the movies are concerned, there are theaters that are open, and you can risk your life to go to the movies.
Where?
You can.
Yeah, no.
Where?
If you want.
Which seems crazy.
In America?
In America, yeah. There's theaters that are open. There are theaters that are playing not just drive-ins. There are indoor theaters that are playing Wonder Woman 1984 right now. And actually, because Wonder Woman 1984 just set a COVID box office record, opening at like just under 17 million, which is like...
Domestically?
Yeah, which is nothing for, I realize, a
movie in
pre-COVID.
General. But yeah, but in a COVID time, yeah. Yeah, when you're like... Yeah, when like the risk of going to see the movie isn't just disappointment, but you know, being put in a body bag and then put in a refrigerator truck in a parking lot at a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather yeah. go to the
pretty good numbers.
I'd rather
for
go
that.
To the theater and see Linda Carter's Wonder Woman and risk it with that than this movie. Jesus.
Have you ever seen Bobby Joe and the Outlaw? Steve?
No.
If you like Linda Carter, I highly recommend Bobby Joe and the Outlaw. It's on Amazon Prime streaming right now.
Okay.
Oh, fantastic.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, let's get things rolling, guys, like we always do, with a little movie news. That's right. It's time for movie news. Only the latest, greatest, and most accurately sourced movie news from around the globe. We have our teams of crack reporters. Oh, shit. I forgot to do movie news, too. I forgot to do bottom five. I don't have any movie news. I don't have crack reporters. It's the end of 2020. This is a hell year. Fuck it. I don't care. Todd, what's your movie news?
All right. I thought since it's the end of the year, I'd do a wrap-up of the top five biggest box office hits of 2020.
Okay.
I'm going to start with number five, and I'll move to number one. Number five, biggest grossing at the box office, United States, 2020, a movie called Doolittle, starring one Robert Downey
Jr. Is it
Robert
Downey Jr.?
Yeah, it's the latest Dr. Doolittle. It came out in January.
Ah.
Like, you'll notice
God,
a couple of these movies...
That feels like that came out, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah, a couple of three of these movies are going to sound like, what, maybe they came out last year? No, they're January, February. Number four, Sonic the Hedgehog, starring one Jim Carrey.
And Chris Gere.
After they fixed the teeth.
Yeah, they fixed the teeth.
Received teeth in Sonic.
That was a January or February release, for sure. Number three...
Oh, no, Chris Gere was in Pokemon. Sorry.
Oh yes, Pokemon. That is in. That's
it's common,
in the top.
Common mistake, Volk.
I think
common
that movie's
mistake.
In the top like 20, 30 movies of the year, but it didn't make the top five. Sorry, Chris Gere. Number three is Tenet, the Nolan thing that he wanted everyone to die to go see, which is boring.
I liked it.
Yeah. You liked it?
I just liked, I just liked watching people. It was like technically amazing. I didn't care like the story. I was like, fly up buildings, idiots, and go backwards and fight yourself. I'm not gonna.
I just didn't find it all that visually interesting.
No.
On top of not being.
Were you stoned?
Cohesive.
Like me? Were you high?
No, I was super high. But I mean it was like it's the different. Like I've already seen Inception, which is that, and Inception things bend and it's trippier, and Tenet's just like it's sort of slightly backwards. It's like it was like shitty Memento. I didn't like it.
Oh.
Number two is Bad Boys for Life, which
that
I did
was
like
this year.
Yeah, that was a January release.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's right, because didn't we went and saw it for our birthday?
Yes, we did. That was one of the last movies I saw in the theater.
Yeah.
Before COVID.
I saw no movies in the theater except one drive-in movie. So I saw nothing in January or February. It was so bad.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. You didn't go see Bad Boys for Life?
No Bad Boys for Life?
No, I did not.
Have you seen it yet?
No.
What?
I thought you were a Bad Boys completionist.
I watched 5 movies this weekend, you guys. I watch a lot of movies, but I have not seen Bad Boys for Life.
Well, I think you should see Bad Boys for Life as soon as this is over. Number one, the number one grossing movie, according to Box Office Mojo, is called The 800, which is a Chinese war epic.
What?
Oh, but so you're talking global, like a global number top five, or was that number, was that stateside?
It was stateside.
Huh.
Because that movie made hella money late in the year in theaters.
I don't know. I've not heard of that.
It's a weird year. It's a weird year.
Very weird. But again, Wonder Woman opened number one in the box office, physical box office, this week, past weekend. So that could change everything. I don't know.
Right.
Even though it was day and date on HBO Max, on the Maxi.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the 16 right. or just under 17 million it brought in, that has nothing to do with HBO Max or whatever money they're making.
Interesting. Interesting. Falk, do you have any movie news?
Superman director Richard Donner doesn't know Zack Snyder, but probably wouldn't like his films. Richard Donner said, "When you see it done right, by my standards, it's so fulfilling. I'm very happy and proud when I see them. When it's done wrong, it's such a disappointment. There's so many people that make superheroes so cynical, it's depressing. When they're dark and bleak and angry with themselves and the world, I don't find it entertaining. I think there's enough reality going on for that. We just got over 4 years of that. I think we crave the opposite." So it stands to reason that Richard Donner's not lining up to see the Snyder Cut when it comes out. Yeah, I kind of agree with him.
I would say this about the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, which I just saw for the first time recently.
Yeah.
It's really boring and not good. I prefer the original theatrical.
But is everyone at least happy?
In the Richard
Donner
cut? No, it's a much sadder, more... Oh.
But compared to like a Zack Snyder comic book movie, it's practically a musical.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just interesting to hear that, because Donner did lean more towards the melodramatic, sad comic book thing with his cut of Superman 2, which is weird.
Too, yeah.
It's weird. It's, you know, so whatever. Yeah.
All right. I don't have any movie news. I can't remember. I think last time we baconed, I think I complained about Gina Carano's being adult. Riling up the nerds on Mandalorian with her come with me to Parlor and don't wear masks. Nonsense.
Who's that?
So Gina Carano.
Who's that?
Haywire.
She's the former MMA fighter. And,
is she in Mandalorian?
Did Haywire and some action movies, and she's in Mandalorian.
No, yeah. Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, and she's been saying dumb stuff like, you know, masks are dumb and hey, Parlor's neat.
Wow.
So, all right. Yeah. That was about it. All right, that's enough movie news. Let's talk about our end of 2020 movie subject. Here we go.
Burn, Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot going on. First they're guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll check out a movie, but it'll take a black one to move me. Get me the hell away from this TV. All this news and views are beneath me.
So, yeah, we're going to be talking about the Warner Brothers decision to release their entire 2021 slate of movies to HBO Max, and bypassing theatrical releases. Or I think those are going to have some theatrical releases, but essentially just going all in on their streaming platform.
Well, bypassing the window. Yeah. They're not bypassing theaters, but there's no window anymore.
Yeah, it's day and date, so they're just. You know, they're doing basic, you know, Wonder Woman 84 was the first in the lineup, they got about like 17 or so movies over this next year that they're going to be releasing the exact same way. And
is it always for just a like a month? Because I noticed Wonder Woman, they're pulling that at the end of January, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do the same, that exact same timetable. I would assume so, because I imagine they want to pull it back then for, like, you know, Blu-ray sales and stuff before they put it back on streaming, would be my guess, is what the thinking is there. But what's kind of in, like, it's already kind of, that's a big, big thing to do. But
yeah, it's huge.
What's really, what makes it kind of interesting and fun and scary is they just kind of unilaterally decided to do it without telling anybody else, except like Patty Jenkins was like the only one of the filmmakers who knew going into it that it was going to be released like that. And as soon as they kind of set that up, then they just went, okay, let's do all of them. And then, you know, apparently just didn't send a memo even to anybody else involved in the movies to say, oh yeah, we're going to be doing this. That's cool, right, guys? So everybody from, you know, what's his name? Dune director,
Villeneuve,
you know, to, you know, the theatrical chains all were blindsided.
But Patty Jenkins knew the whole time?
They made her decision early. But yeah. And then
so,
right. So hers was always going to go to HBO Max, or at least as of, earlier, but not. But then this whole, all the movies were decided, and the filmmakers were only let know like an hour before or something like that.
But Jenkins didn't make Wonder Woman 1984 knowing it was going straight to HBO.
No, it was a COVID decision.
No. But that was, yeah. But they kind of like.
I wish she had, because that would make so much sense, according to the movie that I saw.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's also, there's a few things to talk about, you know, one, especially with, you know, Wonder Woman 84 being kind of the flagship of what Warner's 2021 theatrical release slate is going to look like. You know, it's one thing, you know, we can discuss is, you know, this may or may not have worked in that movie's favor, because even though currently on Rotten Tomatoes it has a 61% rating from critics and a 73% rating from regular folk. I watched it and I thought it was a pretty meandering, flat sequel that I don't think would have been as successful if it had a general theatrical release, versus this really unusual circumstance with there was pent up anticipation and demand for it. And people in an unusual condition where they're looking for more entertainment and looking for something to look forward to, basically. And it seems, and Warner's claiming that, you know, the numbers were really, really big, and big enough that they've greenlit, you know, the third movie.
Yeah.
And so that's gone into active development. So yeah, that looks like that's going to happen as a result. So that's something to look at. Before we jump into it, though, I just want to run down the list of the releases that's on their slate. Some you'll recognize, and some I think are just smaller ones that haven't gotten as much publicity yet. But so, you know, starting in January, there's another Mortal Kombat movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So they rebooted that franchise, and then we have The Little Things, which is a Denzel Washington movie. Tom and Jerry, the cartoons. Cat and mouse movie. I don't know if it's a animated or a live.
No, it's a real cat and mouse. It's a real cat and mouse.
Okay, so
I guess I can finally tell you.
They really got a cat and mouse. They trained them to hit each other with mallets.
I guess I can finally tell you guys that I play the owner of the cat.
Oh yeah,
in this movie.
Which
one's
the cat?
It's a big break for me. Tom.
Okay.
Tom's the cat.
Yeah, that's an easy guess. Tom cat.
Yeah, Jerry's the Jerry's the
mouse. We have the Many Saints of Newark, Reminiscence, Godzilla versus Kong, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, In the Heights, Space Jam, A New Legacy, The Suicide Squad. So wait,
Lin-Manuel Miranda sold Hamilton for $70 million to be a giant theatrical release, made In the Heights to be a big theatrical release, both dumped on streaming.
Yeah.
Wow, good for him.
Timing, man. Dune, Elvis, King Richard, Matrix 4, Judas and the Black Messiah, Malignant and Those Who Wish Me Dead, an Angelina Jolie movie. So there are some huge, more than one of movie in here is the potential $1 billion cracker.
A lot of them, though, sounded like movies that should premiere on HBO.
Well, yeah. But, so, yeah, so let's get into it. And, first off, what are your thoughts on the decision? And do you think it's going to pay off for Warners or not? And then we'll talk about how they did it.
I'll tell you why Jason Kilar, who's the 49-year-old CEO of Warners, why he is short-sighted, being a former Hulu executive. He's about fan service. It's all about the fan experience. Fan, right? That's where he's coming from. And it's a streaming war. The studios have been dying to reduce the window for years and years and years. And Universal recently, I think, made a specific deal to get it down to 17 days for certain movies because of COVID. And then, Kilar comes and just Leroy Jenkins in to break that window. And, I'm not even talking about what the short-sighted nature of doing that to theaters, right? Because after antitrust, after studios had to give up their own theaters, although one could argue that Netflix is now buying theaters, so maybe that antitrust law from, the 60s or whenever that was is kind of going by the wayside. But they need theaters. I mean, theaters is where movies are seen. And yes, the streaming is where the future is in terms of these vertically integrated. There are going to be three or four maybe of these big companies left after the mergers that are going to happen in the next 5 years. So, he obviously took a calculated risk to say it was okay to do with the theaters that this was. We'll just say it's 1 year, very much like what baseball owners did to the Major League Baseball players, introduce all these rules that they wanted to have instituted for years, right? So they want to have these time-saving things go on, and they instituted a bunch of these for this shortened season, and then they're going to try to grandfather, keep them, right? So that's what this is. They're saying, So Jason Kilar is saying, unilaterally, forget that a vaccine is coming, we're just going to put every 2021 movie day and date, right? Both for the fans, right? Really just trying to save HBO Max because the subscriber numbers were not good, when it debuted this year. But the other big sort of short-sighted nature coming from being a numbers quant kind of guy, that the freezing effect it's going to have on talent. You need talent. Warner Brothers has always been seen as this very filmmaker-friendly studio, more than Sony or Universal or Paramount or any of the others, and he torpedoed that in one fell swoop by doing this. But not only by doing it, but by the way it was done, by not having long discussions with the agencies who really can sway their clients, except for maybe Nolan and a couple of them. Not getting the agencies on board was the stupidest fucking move. That's dumb. That's majorly dumb. But by then sort of the transitive power, by not getting the filmmakers on board, not explaining it, not explaining how they're gonna put in the back end that the A-listers, the A-list directors and the A-list stars, like your Denzel Washingtons or your Villeneuves or any of those have, in success, in box office numbers, you're going to get $30 million. If this plateau, you get $50 million. So they have to then bake in that back end. They have to front load that back end now. But so now they're just lawsuits. They're scrambling to figure out how to make their how to pay that back end, that this imaginary back end that's not going to happen, to make the filmmakers happy. But also places like Legendary, you know, who have spent like they paid for like 75% of Godzilla and at least one other movie. They're not fucking happy at all. They weren't consulted, yeah. So there's going to be massive lawsuits. I think some of these movies are going to be blocked from this day and date thing, particularly the Legendary movies. It just seems like a short-sighted clusterfuck that could have existed, but been done so much more gracefully and better.
Well, yeah, I mean that was kind of like my first reaction to this news because when it broke like a month ago, it's now or so.
Two and a half weeks. Yeah.
A couple of weeks. Yeah. Was just like why did they just pull the trigger on the whole year? You know, why aren't they just going at like a, you know, a quarter at a time to then judge, you know, what the health situation is? And, you know, because, you know, if things had gone better than they're going now, you know, we might have been looking at, you know, theaters opening up sooner in the year, and then that revenue can start to come back and normalize again.
Because once you shrink the window, you don't unshrink it if your job is to shrink it. You shrink it, well, you eliminate it, and then say, yeah, no, but we'll revisit next year. That's why he didn't.
So I guess it's really just they're playing the game of chicken. They're betting that they won't have to pay out all the lawsuits, and they'll be able to ride out the year.
Well, yeah, and you know,
leaning on the streaming channel.
And eventually, there is a way to figure out false back end formulas. The streamers and TV have been doing it for years now. Where
don't they just pay a larger lump sum up front for?
Yeah, they bake in a fake back end, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like you have so if you have 20 points in a TV show you create, those points are worth. There's a algorithm. There's a mathematical formula. The longer you're in success, your points are worth more and more and more in syndication. Then more and more and more.
Right, when you have
these shows that there isn't a syndication market because they're a Netflix show. They're going to be on Netflix, right? Except for maybe selling it to. There are some syndication things happening with certain streaming shows, but they've been just paying fake back ends, right? To attract.
Yeah, or like sometimes like Netflix will put out, you know, some of its content in other countries where it's not on Netflix, but it's on one of the.
Yeah, but that's separate. But to get like, you know, to get a lister, let's say to get like Kenya Barris to come do a show for Netflix rather than, I mean, his is part of a bigger deal, but rather than ABC, where he stands to make a lot of money if the show goes into syndication. They just pay it up. There's a formula. So they've done it in TV. There's a way they can just translate that into movies, right? So it's not that can't happen. It's just that it didn't happen beforehand. And now you have people like Denzel Washington and such who are just going to say, you want me to do press for your movie? You better figure out this back end to my advantage.
Well, yeah, and it's like if they come back to, you know, if they want to do like a Matrix 5 now, that negotiation is just going to be pay me.
Yeah.
Pay me a lot more than you wanted to because you screwed me over.
Isn't that already a thing with the King Kong Godzilla movie?
Well, that's what I was saying. That's because there's a co-financier.
Those are both Legendary. Those are both Legendary.
I don't know which the other. It's Godzilla
Kong,
and Kong.
I think is.
No, yeah, Godzilla and Kong, but I don't know what the other one is.
Yeah, whoever the co-financier is on that movie is demanding, I think like $250 million or something.
Yeah.
If you're going to put it on the thing, then you're going to give us the box office
money. Make that movie
money.
Expecting a. You know, a huge potential theatrical release in that revenue.
Right, and the problem is, even though it's only domestic, the minute you put that on a streamer day and date, there are great copies all over. Then it's pirated, and you know the global market takes a giant hit.
That's oh, because it's on.
It's going to be pirated,
so it can be pirated
that day.
Way
it's,
more
yeah, it's
easily.
A lot. It's a lot easier to get a good quality copy of a stream than as opposed to, you know, a theatrical release where you have the
shaky
somebody
cam,
has to actually
yeah.
have a physical camera. And,
mm. Yeah. So that really that the so yeah so international takes a big hit on big movies like that.
Should I subscribe to HBO and start recording these things on like just my phone? Just set it up on a tripod.
That's
and
how you should
yeah,
do it. That's how they do it. That's exactly how they do it.
Yeah, that's
sell
exactly.
it to people.
Yeah.
Well, this is how we did it in the theaters, so I see no reason to change.
Yeah. I got to make some money, you guys.
So what do we think now about, like, you know, these movies with this slate, you know, in terms of just success? How is this going to affect,
you know,
the success in terms of, like, because like I mentioned earlier, like, you know, I'm speculating that, you know, the current success of Wonder Woman 84 would not be as great if it had been a general theatrical release, because I just, you know, I think the movie is a very uneven movie, and it's one of those movies that I think is a lot easier to enjoy when you're at home on your own couch, as opposed to having gone through the ritual of going to the theater. You have I think there's a greater expectation.
I definitely would have been much angrier at that movie if I had made a night of it and gone to the theater.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the danger, is that I'm such a fan of going to the movie theater, but if you're just going to give me everything and I can stay on my couch, I'm probably gonna.
Yeah.
And no matter how much of a devotee I am of the theatrical experience, it's gonna affect me. And there are a lot of people out there who couldn't give a shit about the theatrical experience, because all their theatrical experience is some fucking like shitty fucking mall theater, you know, 2 hours from their house.
Well, looking at the list that you gave us, Skelton, of the HBO movies that are gonna multi-platform on the day, I was thinking about, like, which one of these movies would I have gone to see in the theater pre-COVID, right? Where I didn't think I was risking my life to see it.
Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, most of the titles
Tom and Jerry
you listed,
at least four times.
Yeah, Tom and Jerry for sure. But other than Tom and Jerry, I don't think any of those movies enticed me enough that I necessarily would have seen them in the theaters.
Oh,
you know, the Matrix.
You would have gone to see Godzilla
versus Kong. Like eight
Kong.
Of those, Todd.
No, no. Yeah, Matrix and Godzilla. Yeah, but I would have gone
the
to see them as
a new Conjuring movie.
As matinees. Yeah, but I would have seen them as matinees, sure. But for me, like, the seeing of them isn't reduced necessarily by seeing them on my TV. It's really not.
I mean, for me, it's stuff like, you know, I really like going to the theater for, you know, larger scale movies, you know, that have a bit more of an epic scale to them. And that does include, you know, Christopher Nolan movies, even though I always end up not liking them. But he does operate on a visually on a more epic, classical epic type of scale, mm-hmm. which is, you know, really enhanced by a proper, you know, theater experience in a proper theater. And so and then the big more spectacle movies too, like the comic book movies and stuff, tend to can be a lot more fun on a big screen, you know, and a big, you know, bombastic sound. So the Godzilla stuff, the Dune, I would have gone to see, even though I'm sure I won't like it in the theater. Matrix,
well,
I'd go see in the theater.
I like
Suicide
going
Squad.
To I like going to the movies before not going to the movies, but I mean, I've seen and enjoyed so many movies for the first time on video or streaming or whatever. So I don't know. As a consumer, it's a weird thing. It doesn't seem like a horrible thing that I can see first run movies in my house, especially right now, because
I mean,
I'm not getting the vaccination till maybe summertime 2021.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see some new movies.
Depending on how good some of these are, I mean, I think the biggest hit they're going to potentially take in terms of, you know, comparatively, you know, old school box office release. I think the Suicide Squad is potentially their biggest hit of, you know, it just not making as much money just mm-hmm. by the reason of not having being able to be in a theater. You know, because James Gunn is pretty consistent, you know, now with a pretty big crowd pleaser comic booky stuff, and people enjoy them a lot. So I think, you know, that's potentially where they're going to lose some money. Dune, I just don't know why they're making Dune again. So I didn't have a lot of faith that, you know, even though that's a hugely expensive movie too, was going to be, ooh, that's going to be $1 billion. You know, it's going to crack the billion in when it hits theaters. Maybe well, before, that's all going to depend on whether it's fun or not. I mean,
the spice industry needs Dune. It's their whole thing.
The spice must flow.
It has to flow, and yeah, without Dune,
and anus worms.
Anus worms. Yeah, I love anus worms.
So, yeah. So that's, you know, so that's kind of this weird state, and you know, Falk was spoke to it quite a bit, but already. But you know, so what do we think the fallout? You know, what's 2022 gonna look like theatrically? Like, let's assume the apocalypse gets under control at some point in this country in 2021.
Well,
so by the time we get to 2022, yeah, we might actually be able to be in movie theaters again.
I'll tell you, I think, you know, given the response to the studios. Sorry, the studio's response to the numbers of Wonder Woman, whether they're actually good or not, has led to a bunch of optimism this week, right? So, so the movie theater stocks, which had been obviously plummeting over the last 9 months, have gone up a little bit, and there is some optimism. That there is still an appetite to go to the movie theater. And I think that's true. You know, I think, you know, you could look at, not to bring it back to baseball again, but baseball attendance is pretty, pretty good, you know, and games are really watchable at home, and you don't have to stay out, you know, you don't have to fight traffic and get home at 11:30 at night on a school night. You can just turn off that TV at 10:30. So I think there still is an appetite. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if, you know, Regal and Cinemark and AMC and all these big conglomerates have to sort of downsize a bit and lose some theaters and take some revenue hits. I don't think that's a terrible thing. As long as it doesn't squeeze out the marketplace for indies completely. I think people will go back to watching the movies, and I don't know if we'll have those record numbers, but frankly, I don't give a shit about box office records being broken year to year, you know, as long as there's still movies to go see, I'm fine.
Well, what if they do with the movies when they reopen what they've done with so many first run movies that they're VODing, which is, if you pay to see it, you own the movie and you can watch it again and again and again. So what if they did that at the movie theater? You pay for your ticket for the movie and then you have a digital version of the movie, you know, on your computer or whatever to watch.
I think they have done like promotions like that once in a while. I've seen, like, you get the movie ticket and you get the code, although you don't actually own those. The licensing is a license. It's not a ownership.
Well, I can watch Bloodshot now whenever I want to, which will,
you lucky dog,
which will probably be never, but it's nice to know that I can if I want to,
but it's there.
I'm sure
it's there.
That sounds like a pretty cool idea to me.
I've just been thinking about that. I mean, like, for me personally, I like to go to the movies. I just like it. I like it. And I've liked it in the last number of years because now movies have, they have bars there and they have restaurants.
You can end there. They have bars there. That's all.
Bars.
Just don't try
drink.
To pretend.
Yeah. Yeah. You can take booze into the theater with you.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And a quesadilla or whatever. So yeah, I, I am going to go when I can. The first thing I'm going to do is go to the movies because I just love it. But I mean, as far as that other element of the audience that only comes out for event films, or they only come out for this, that, or the other reason, entice them by saying when you come out, you get to watch this movie whenever you want to again after.
I like it. Or they can come home with you and watch it at your house.
Yeah, they can come to my house. You guys can all come to my house.
Yeah, that'll be the new promotion, is you get a movie ticket and then you can go to Todd's house whenever you want and watch that movie again.
Very nice.
All right. Good talk,
good
guys.
Talk.
Yeah, good talk.
Oh, those are very serious drums being clattered about there. That means it's time for movie jail. That's where we go to the courthouse in the courtroom and in the court and put a movie professional on trial for crimes against cinema. If they are found guilty, they are remanded to the Robert De Niro Memorial Maximum Federal Penitentiary Prison Complex. There's so many wings and punishments there, I can't even name them all. So let's get this court in session. Here's my bailiff here.
Oye, oye. Hey, everybody. Can you hear me through my mask? I'm wearing my mask.
Yes, everybody mask. Mouth and
it's
nose.
It's weird. You sounded clearer before, but then
I forgot. I forgot to put it on, dipshit. So now I have it on. Oh, man. My mask is... I gotta run upstairs to get a new cold mask. But while I'm here, please stand up for the Honorable Stephen J. Skelton, Esquire. And Mr. Anderson, you may approach the bench.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Your Honor. I know it's holiday hours. We're under a lot of strain, and there's COVID times. So I'm gonna try to.
And this is night court.
Yeah, and this is night court, and so I'm prosecuting not one but two people. Really fast.
Okay.
I want to preface this, Your Honor, just on a personal note. I'm looking at their cases entirely objectively, even though I know they're assholes on Twitter and they're like anti-masker types and pro-Trump types and the election was a fraud types. That's neither here nor there. These are
copy that.
This is crimes against cinema. That's what I'm
right. Of course,
concerned
of course.
About. So real fast, our first defendant was born September 24th, 1958, in Mound, Minnesota, and this
in where? I'm sorry, where?
Mound.
Ah, thank you.
Minnesota Mound. And this asshole. I'm sorry. I shouldn't call him an asshole. That sounds judgmental. I'm sorry.
I'm going to allow that.
All right. This asshole traveled the world modeling for print ads and commercials before breaking out in TV's Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. His first movie was 1997's Kull the Conqueror, easily one of the dumbest sword and sorcery and sandals movies ever made. Then he basically stayed on TV until 2008, where he showed up in one of those tepid movie spoofs we saw a lot of early in the century, this one of 300 called Meet the Spartans. That same year, he showed up in an attempted Naked Gun type movie aimed at right-wingers called An American Carol. Now he's a fixture in Christian propaganda movies with titles like Let There Be Light, Miracle in East Texas, and One Nation Under God. Now, our second defendant is a woman who I describe here as a piece of shit. And she was born in January 12th.
I'm going to allow that.
she was born on January 12th, 1951 in Wichita, Kansas. Before she was catapulted to TV stardom via Cheers, where she took over for Shelley Long when she left the show, Kirstie Alley appeared in the classic Star Trek movie, The Wrath of Khan. She also showed up in The Great Summer School.
The court would like to note she was the original Lieutenant Savick.
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor. She also showed up in The Great Summer School and the fun, dumb thriller Shoot to Kill. But once she got famous, she threw her fame behind these projects. The Look Who's Talking franchise, Madhouse, sibling rivalry and for richer or poorer with her fellow con sitcom star Tim Allen. She has thankfully stuck to TV for the most part since then, but she did plenty of damage to multiplexes with her Scientology-riddled brain. Those are my cases for Kevin Sorbo and Kirstie Alley. If you want to be further aggravated by them, just follow them on Twitter.
I do not.
All right, Your Honor, how do you... I don't
guilty and extra super guilty.
Full lockup, 100% lockup, all forever?
It's weird. It's like I want to sentence them, but it feels like they've already sentenced themselves.
Yeah, are they in movies? Aren't they already in a jail of their own making?
Yeah, well, sure, but I keep seeing them on Twitter, and it got me mad, and so I was like, I can put them in jail for crimes against cinema.
Oh,
it's
right,
there
just to
it's
get there. Them off. Just to get them off Twitter. I got it.
Get them off the Twitter.
Yeah, I think we can do that. Let's. Yeah, guilty, and yeah, they've managed to get themselves out of regular movies and TV, but yeah, let's get them out of everything else.
I like it.
Remove them permanently.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
It is so ordered.
This is a Christmas miracle.
Just right at the last second, at the end of the year.
Oh my God!
Cleaning house here in Night Court.
Thank God. Thank God those two assholes.
Anyway, hey guys, what are you guys going to do tomorrow at noon?
Oh, I'm doing. What's that? What?
Wait, what?
I don't know what that.
Did you hear that?
What I'm going to do is I'm just going to...
What? There it was again.
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh, you guys.
It's Nick.
It's Nick Cage. He gets us every time.
He does.
He's been getting us like that for years, and it's no different here at the end of 2020.
No, you think we'd learn.
He's fooled us. He's fooled us again, that wily Nick Cage. But that means it's time for the Nick Cage Memorial Bazaar line reading.
He's such a good actor that we hear the same clip.
Yeah, and it surprises us every time. It's
That's
like we've never heard it before.
Yeah.
So in the Nick Cage Memorial Bazaar line reading, a line reading from an actor, it doesn't have to be Nick Cage, but it could be. But a line is presented for consumption that evokes the finest tradition of the Nick Cage performance, whether it's subtle or large sometimes. Nick Cage goes all over the place. We never know what's going to happen. This time, the line is being presented to us by Stephen Falk. Stephen, what do you have to set up?
Well, I will say this is on the... it's sort of on the subtle side, weirdly. It's a performance that blew me away. It's in a movie by Steve Martin. It's called Bowfinger. And this mm-hmm. is a giant monolith of comedy, Eddie Murphy, playing a reticent... geeky, enthusiastic, super nerd. He's answered an audition call for to be in a movie, and here he is being asked questions by Steve Martin and someone else I can't remember because I presented this clip 2 months ago.
I think it's Jamie Kennedy.
And Jamie Kennedy, correct. And so here it is. It's two minutes of Eddie Murphy just being amazing.
Here we go.
Currently packing fries at the Burger King on Douglas. Do you have any experience in motion pictures?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit, actually. I have quite a bit of experience. I'm an active renter at Blockbuster, and I attend the film, the cinema, as much as possible, weekly, biweekly, intermediately.
Would you be willing to cut your hair?
Oh. Yes, but it's usually better if someone else does it. I've had a few accidents.
Can you see without your glasses?
Oh, yeah, I can see. I don't really see well, but I can see.
Do you have contacts?
I have contact lenses. I can wear my contact lenses. That'll help. Mm-hmm. Can I put my glasses back on?
Sure, please. Put your glasses back on.
I get a little headache.
Would you be willing to show your naked rear end in a movie?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. This is hard.
Just one more question. In addition to being a major star in this film, would you also be willing to run errands?
Oh, gosh. I'm really hoping to get a career running errands. That'd be a major boost for me.
What'd you say your name was?
Jifferson.
Jifferson?
Jeff. My friends call me Jeff.
Jeff. Well, Jeff. Welcome aboard. Here's your wardrobe.
All right. Awesome. All right.
Yeah, I gotta say what...
Jifferson.
To me, what's shocking about that performance is that Eddie Murphy has done nerdy white guy voices in stand-up and sketch before, and they're always very over-the-top and sticky, and this, he pulls it way back. He found this subtlety that is really, really impressive. I mean, I've been impressed with him, you know, lately, even in like Dolomite and stuff, which I thought he was pretty good. But this remains to me one of my favorite Eddie Murphy performances.
Yeah, because it's like he's doing all of the big over the top stuff with the Kit character.
Yeah. Yes,
and
exactly.
that's where all of that huge energy is, and so he makes this just brilliant, simple choice to just draw down the energy as much as he possibly can, and it's so contained.
And what's so great is also, you know, one of my big bugaboos is improv acting, and you know, there's obviously some improv going on here, but it doesn't feel spectacularly improv-y, you know. Mm. They don't rely on that, and they don't sort of, he doesn't kind of milk it like a lot of improv comics just keep throwing out joke after joke after joke.
It's a lot more subtle and used to enhance the scene.
Yes.
Not take it over.
Yeah, exactly.
Bowfinger, I think, is one of the best American comedies ever made, as well as being one of the cruelest tricks ever played on me personally. Because I had given up on both those guys at the time that had come out. And then I was like, holy shit, in one movie, both Steve Martin
they're both back.
And Eddie Murphy are fucking back. And they immediately stopped doing that again.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah.
Anyway, it makes me want, I haven't seen it in a while. It makes me want to see it again.
Yeah, just hearing that clip.
I do love Bowfinger.
Yeah, and then you got Terrence Stamp in there. Don't show it to the Laker girl. I quote that movie all the time.
Don't show it to the Laker girls.
All the time.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Great. Awesome.
What's that? What's that?
Hey, guys. You know what that music means?
No, what is it?
It means it's time to play a game.
No.
That's right. That music means it's time to play Harrison Ford, Genre's Tired King. In Harrison Ford, Genre's Tired King, players are given clues and must correctly guess the title of the Harrison Ford movie the clue is referencing. This obviously was a game I prepared for the last subject, which was movie mashups. And genre mashups. It's the end of 2020. It's been a long year, people. I didn't feel like making a new game.
Well,
so
and also
Harrison Ford, Genre's Tired King.
It's great because it's the end of 2020. We just found out that Harrison Ford is doing another Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
So it's all.
Yeah.
And
so,
he will be how old? 80.
Eighty.
Okay, so Once again, in Harrison Ford, genre's Tired King, players are given clues and must correctly guess the title of the Harrison Ford movie the clue is referencing. Players get one guess per clue and are awarded 1 point for correct answers. If a player answers incorrectly, the opposing player may answer to collect the point. However, if they also answer incorrectly, the opposing player sacrifices their next turn.
Oh, fuck balls. So,
good God.
Yeah, be careful there. There are 30 total clues, 15 for each player plus one tiebreaker. Oh, and this is a reference to what the last podcast subject would have been. Just so your information, the movies Blade Runner and Cowboys and Aliens are not on this list.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Those are the only two movies I remember him doing.
Those are the only two movies. Okay. So basically, I'm gonna give you a clue, and it's gonna be kind of in the style of a tired Harrison Ford. And you have to tell me what the movie is.
And then we can ask for hints if need be.
No, there's no hints. Can we?
Are there clues?
Wants to go first?
Will there be clues?
No clues. No hints.
I'll go first.
All right. Okay, Mr. Wants a Clue will go first. Here we go, Todd. Replaced Alec Baldwin, killed a guy with a boat anchor.
Is that Patriot Games?
Correct. That is Patriot Games. One point.
I get 5 points?
1 point. Shut up. Volk. Your Harrison Ford genre's Tired King clue is, I'm in the IT department and Paul Bettany is being a total dick to me.
Oh, God damn it. Is it called Firewall?
It is called Firewall. Yes. Nice.
Good job.
nice pull. Yeah, so that's a 2-2 or 1-1. There's 2 points total. You each have one.
No, I got 5 points.
Todd, Todd, your clue is, my mistress has been murdered and I'm being charged with the crime. I need a nap.
My mistress has been murdered and I'm being charged with the crime. I need a nap. I'm going to go shit. I'm going to go with Presumed Innocent.
Presumed Innocent is correct.
Yeah.
Oh.
I pulled that. Because
he's like, right. He's had a lot of sex that's ended in murder.
Yeah. People are always getting murdered.
You got to be careful. All right. Falk, yeah. Your clue?
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm old and stuck in a nuke-proof refrigerator.
I love that all these start with, oh.
Can you repeat the question?
I'm old and stuck in a nuke-proof refrigerator.
Oh my God. I know what this is. Fuck. Why is it not coming to me? I don't know.
Can I steal? Is there steals?
You wanna steal?
Can I steal it?
Go for it. Yeah. Yes.
It's Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That is correct. It is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I don't think that's what I was thinking of.
He nuked the fridge.
Okay.
It's movies okay. Jumping the shark, nuking the fridge.
So now, you got to steal, which means it's Todd's turn now.
Yeah.
As well.
Yep.
So, Todd.
Uh-huh.
Your clue is, gonna close this real estate deal, then play old cop, young cop with this Josh kid.
Oh, that would be Hollywood Homicide.
Hollywood Homicide is correct.
Wow, I would have never remembered what that's called.
Falk?
Yeah.
Your Harrison Ford, genre's Tired King clue is, in this one I crash my plane, just like in real life.
Is it 6 days and seven nights?
It is 6 days and seven nights. That is correct.
I was wondering when that one was going to come up.
Todd?
Uh-huh.
Todd, here's a... This better be a gimme. Get off my plane.
Air Force One?
Air Force One is correct.
Yeah. I like that movie. My favorite part of that movie is when all those people get pushed out on parachutes and there's that one lady who's just like happy and
who's
floating.
Just happy.
She's just the happiest to be floating off a plane.
Vault, your Harrison Ford genre's Tiger King clue is, if Connery can be a Russian submarine commander, why not me too?
Shit. It's not Hunt for Red October. It's not U571, is it? Can I repeat the question?
Fuck. If Connery can be a Russian submarine commander, why not me, too?
Okay, he's doing a Russian accent. I guess it is U571, right?
Yeah, I got to steal.
Is that your answer?
I want to steal.
Fuck, what is it? Yeah.
Can I steal?
Yeah, you can steal.
K-19, The Widowmaker.
Oh, God damn it.
It is K-19, The Widowmaker.
Directed by Catherine Bigelow.
Bigelow, yeah.
Won
but
an
he does
Academy
a Russian.
Award.
He does a bad Russian accent, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
so
he
bad.
Does.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. Todd, your clue?
Mm.
Ugh. We didn't do Nazis for the second one, but bringing them back for this one works. I like punching Nazis.
Nazis. I hate these guys. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
That is correct. Stephen Falk.
Yeah. How can I win this game when Todd has all 30 of these movies in his garage? It's so unfair.
I'm sorry.
It is. And the scoring system, I'm realizing, is very, very unfair, too.
So this game is bullshit. I love it.
Your feelings, Falk, are correct.
Yeah.
And your clue is, I'm all business with Melanie Griffith until the script says I'm in love with her. Then I do that.
Working Girl.
Working Girl is correct.
That's a great synopsis of that movie, actually.
Todd, your clue is, two words. Cartoon dog.
Oh, Call of the Wild.
Call of the Wild is correct.
Yeah, has anyone found the cut of the movie without the CG put in with the guy?
It's just the guy in
that's
the
what I
green
see.
Man suit.
No,
flopping
if you find it, let's get high and watch it together.
Oh yeah. My God. Somebody has to have that somewhere.
Someone.
All right, Fault.
Yeah.
Your clue. Ugh. Thought I was out, but they made me come back as a space ghost for a half day.
Oh, is that Blade Runner 2046?
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not. It's not. There is no Blade Runner 2046, is there? Isn't it 2043?
It's something. No, I'm sorry. It is Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, I don't know those movies.
He doesn't.
Todd?
Yes.
Your clue is, I'm in Paris and I can't find my wife.
Frantic.
Frantic is correct.
Wow. Is that Polanski?
That is Polanski, yeah. Yes.
No,
I felt gross that. knowing that title.
Falk?
Yeah.
Your Harrison Ford genre's Tiger King clue is, I didn't kill my wife.
The fugitive.
The fugitive.
The fugitive.
The fugitive it is.
Such a good movie.
Todd?
Yeah.
The quote is how I feel about this game. I don't care.
Todd, your clue is,
I do, I'm winning.
I'm a space guy in this one too, but instead of being a scoundrel or a detective, I'm being mean to children at camp or something.
I'm a space guy too in this one. And then being mean to kids in camp. Oh. Yeah. This is oh shit. It's Ender's Game.
Correct. It is Ender's Game.
I wow. almost did the out loud talk through. So, horrible homophobic author.
Falk, no. Your Harrison Ford John Retired King clue is, I'm a very serious journalist upset at having to work on this daytime news program according to this script, so I'll do that.
Is that called Morning Glory?
That is called Morning Glory. Correct.
Fucking great
what a
pull.
Dumb title.
I wouldn't have got that. You did a. I think you wrote a parody of that on the Film Pigs show.
Oh.
If I'm not crazy.
Sound funny.
Todd?
Mm-hmm?
Your clue
I'm
is...
sure it was.
Ah. That Moffat guy calls me a junkyard dog in this one. Good stuff.
Clear and Present Danger.
Clear and Present Danger is correct.
Didn't we lose Moffat this year? Isn't he one of 2020's losses?
I think we might have, yeah. Stephen Falk, your clue is, I make a giant ice machine in this one.
A what?
A giant ice machine.
A giant ice machine. I'm gonna guess that's. Well, it sounds stupid, so I'm gonna guess Star Wars: Return of the Jedi.
All right, can I steal?
No, I'm sorry,
can I
not.
Steal?
You can steal.
It's the Mosquito Coast.
Yep, it is the Mosquito Coast. Correct.
I forgot he was in that.
Todd.
Yeah.
You get to continue with this really unfair scoring system. And your clue is...
This game is great.
Ran around with an Amish kid on this one. Luke something? I don't remember.
Oh, that would be Witness.
Witness is correct.
I like that movie.
It's a great movie.
Stephen Falk?
Yeah.
It's Peter Weir, right? Is that Weir?
Yeah.
Was it Weir? I think it was Weir, yeah. Your clue is... Ugh, I got frozen in a big candy bar on this second one, which was nice because it meant I wrapped early on the shoot.
On the second one?
On the second one.
I guess that's, is that Empire Strikes Back?
Correct. That is Empire Strikes Back.
Witness, you see Kelly McGillis's titties.
Yeah,
that is also correct.
Yeah.
You don't get any points for that, though.
No.
Oh, I got some points.
If you watch Bobby Joe and the Outlaw, you'll get to see Wonder Woman's boobs.
Oh,
Todd, your clue is that Michelle Pfeiffer is a real pro. I think I fought a lake ghost in this one.
That would be What Lies Beneath.
Wow.
Wow.
Nice.
Good. Yeah.
Zemeckis. Zemeckis on his starting his string of great later day movies. All winners.
It's funny Stephen how Falk. Viciously Falk said Zemeckis. It was exciting.
Falk, your Harrison Ford genre's Tired King clue is, I got to make a Western with Gene Wilder. No, not the Mel Brooks one.
You repeat it?
I
don't know
this. I got to make a Western with Gene Wilder. No, not the Mel Brooks one.
Tiger's fucking Witness. Gene Wilder, Western.
This is obscure, actually.
No, but I feel like, God damn it, I can see the VHS tape. I used to have to rent it out occasionally. I don't know. I don't pass. What do you got, Todd?
I actually don't know this one.
Oh.
is the Frisco Kid.
Right.
The Frisco Kid.
Now that I hear it,
1979.
I wouldn't have pulled that.
Todd.
Yeah.
Your clue is, this is my World War II picture. It's a sequel to that Niven one. Carl Weathers is nice. It was cold.
Force 10 from Navarone?
Damn, yes, it was Force 10 from Navarone.
Damn, dude.
I did not know the last one, though. But once you said it, I was like, right, the Frisco Kid. Shit. That's obscure.
Your clue is... And just realize this is the only one where I actually take the artifacts back where they really belong.
Ha! I don't remember the ending of these first two. I mean, I remember the melt. I guess it's Raiders of the Lost Ark. Wow, really? Okay. just say it. Say Temple of Doom.
It is. It's Temple of Doom.
Todd gets it.
No, I didn't say it. But yeah.
Todd, just get it. I don't care. Take it.
That was a very tricky clue, but he's right. It is the only movie where he returns the stones back to the village. That's the whole reason he goes. Because he falls off that cliff and that boat.
Listen, short round. Just take it.
Todd, your clue?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Am I supposed to be a robot in this one or not? Or is this New Kid? Or are we both robots or not? I'm tired.
Blade Runner 2049. Did I get the year right?
You got the year right.
Wow.
It is Blade Runner 2049.
I thought it was 46, but you said 43 earlier.
No, I got it wrong. I remembered it when it mattered.
We all had multiples of three, at least.
All right, Falk, your clue is, Stallone paid me way too much money for this one.
Oh, yeah. He flies a plane. Which is great, right?
Can you say it again?
Stallone paid me way too much money for this one.
The fuck movie is he in with Stallone? Is he in The Expendables 3?
Correct. That's Expendables it. He did it. 3.
He pulled it.
All right, Todd, your clue is, my emo kid stabbed me, so I'm finally done with this franchise.
My emo kid stabbed me, so I'm fine. That would be Star Wars episode. Fuck. Star Wars episode 7, The Force Awakens?
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
Fuck. That was hard.
Spoiler to those of us who haven't seen it. He has a kid?
Right. Kylo Ren.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
Adam Driver's his kid.
Okay.
And he kills him at the end. I didn't know that. All right.
Fault.
Adam
Sorry.
Driver's Fault. In Star Wars?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's stupid. Why would he do that?
It's why he's famous.
Oh, okay.
He got a lot. I imagine he got lots of money for those movies.
Yeah, so. He's right. Rich. Adam All Driver's Falk,
your
rich.
Clue. Falk, your clue is, fun fact. I shot that guy with the sword because I had diarrhea and didn't want to do the fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
Really? All right, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's right. That he had a stomach flu and he couldn't fight because he kept blowing diarrhea out of his ass.
Oh, I like it. That's so funny.
Yeah. Todd, your clue is, I shot first.
That would be Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
That is Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
Does he admit he shot first in that one?
Well, the whole thing is when George Lucas redid it, he added Greedo shooting.
Yeah.
And in the original, Greedo doesn't shoot. He just shoots Greedo before Greedo has a chance.
Yeah, he just guns him down in cold
blood. Right, so does he admit it in 4? Four? You're saying that's the first movie. I forgot they numbered them all stupid. Okay.
Right. That's also, it's super confusing.
Jesus.
And so the last clue... speaking of super confusing, Titus,
regarding Henry,
last clue for Falk is, damn it, I got yanked out of my frozen candy bar in Act One. Now I got to do the whole rest of this movie with these damn teddy bears.
I guess that's what I guessed before. What is that? Episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
That's correct.
Oh, nice.
Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. So yeah, so that's a
he doesn't
Todd
even know Star
ran
Wars.
Away with that one
job,
with the help of my very very unfair scoring system.
I'm just excited. I got Firewall and what was the other Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Holy shit! Yeah, those are like
so good.
The
so
deeper
good.
Pulls.
And I'm glad. I kept waiting for I Already Work Around the Clock. What was that movie called with Brendan Fraser?
Shit. What is that called?
I can't remember.
I can't
which
think
one
of
is.
It. Shit. Yeah.
But well done with Morning Glory. Well, okay, those disappointed kids means it's time for the bottom five. And like I said earlier, I forgot to do the bottom five for this subject, so I'm just doing the bottom five for what was going to be the last episode if we had been able to get together, which was movie mashups. So these are my bottom five worst mashups: Cowboys and Aliens, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, Iron Sky, and for Falk, Wild Wild West.
West, James West, Desperado, Rough Rider. No, you don't want none of this. Mother running this.
He's like Pavlov's dog with that. Like he can't not.
He has to do the rap.
I'm like Carmen with Sail Away.
Okay, it's time for a soothing moment, a balm on the soul as we get out of this year of apocalypse and dread and awfulness. 2020 is nearly over. This is a moment of positivity. And things to be positive about are that there are multiple vaccines that appear to be very effective. We're not out of the woods yet, but hopefully by this time next year, things will feel more normal. And maybe, just maybe, we can get back into a movie theater before 2021 is over.
Hello.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And that's that. So that's our show. Thanks for listening to the last Film Picks podcast of 2020. May the year rot in hell for all time and beyond. I'd like to thank you for listening to us. I'd like to thank our fellow Film Pigs, Stephen Falk and Todd Robert Anderson. And a big thank you to Adam Blau for all of the wonderful music. And I think that's all I got. What do you guys got to go out on the year here?
Do you guys see that Mads Mikkelsen drinking movie?
No.
Yeah, you should see that. Another Round. It's pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like it's Danish. It's four middle-aged guys decide that they'll just try to stay drunk and see if their lives get better. Like, they'll stay, like, just, like, nicely buzzed, and then it all goes to hell.
Oh, nice.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Have you seen Murder at 1600 starring Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, what about it?
Oh, it's just that's an address that changes all the rules.
Oh,
it certainly did.
Wow, that's good. It does. I would think the rules have changed. All right, but fuck you, year.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Get lost, year.
You piece of shit.
And there's no way at the end of 21 we're going to say the same thing. Absolutely no way.
No, not a chance.
This is not just a snowball.
It can't possibly get worse.
Everything's going to turn around, you guys.
All right,
it's not.